So good to be here with all of you, and thank you so much for joining us online this morning. My name is Megan, and I lead worship in Bremerton, and if you can't tell, I'm also Christy Godwin's sister. So yeah, if you don't know who she is, she's that pregnant lady who, you know, is like ready to have that baby anytime. Also, she's your worship pastor, so kind of a big deal. Anyway, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here with you all this morning. And as I was preparing, I was just reminded of all of the beautiful promises that God has given us in his word. And one of them that many of us know is Jeremiah 29:11. And it's my prayer that we would hear it this morning with like new ears. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And there are plans to for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." And as I was reading that, I was just blown away that that is the heart of our God for us, and that he loves us that much, that he would give us a hope and a future. And all these songs that we're going to sing today are just talking about that God who is so good, and even when we don't see it and we don't feel it, that he is for us. So would you stand, and let's worship him together. Oh, I got to do this. God of the promise, God of the future, you see beginning and end. God of the rescue, God of the breakthrough, how great is your faithfulness. You're not done yet. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise. Thank you.
moving in the midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. just give me Jesus. Give me securely found. Give me the one my soul delights in. Only you. Give me the one in whom my hope is securely found. Give me the one my soul delights in. Give me the one in whom my hope is securely found.
Lord, as we think of this song, Lord, give me Jesus. Lord, you want to do a work in us that is deep, that is real, and that is authentic. And Lord, we need you desperately in our lives to see that happen. Today we're going to be talking about reconciliation. It's a matter that goes to the core of our being, because we can say we worship you and yet we can hate or we can disparage someone around us who you love. And you call us to work on our own hearts and to reconcile with others. Lord, to be peacemakers, to be those who share your shalom the way it's meant to be with others. And you continue to work on us day after day in these key areas, Lord, of our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our friendships. Every single day, Lord, there's an opportunity to bring shalom. Lord, our world is tearing itself apart. And Lord, you have called us as your ambassadors into this ministry. And it's a ministry not only to strangers, it's a ministry to our own closest loved ones. So Lord, I pray as we talk about that today that you would speak to us, that you give us faces and names of people that you want us to reach out to, perhaps to call, to text, to love, that you would work through us in powerful ways as a result of what we do this morning. Heal relationships, Lord. Maybe relationships that have not been talked about for years. But Lord, do that. Do something real and do something authentic on this Pentecost Sunday, because that is the day your Holy Spirit was poured out, Lord. And we need your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. My name is Rick Dietzman. I'm the associate pastor here at the church. And Scott asked me to not only pray this morning, but also to do the announcements, one of which is because this weekend we had another historic event at our church. We've been doing this for years. Our basic beliefs class does a weekend retreat every year. It's one of the best times of my spring, and we cover the Holy Spirit. So it's appropriate on Pentecost Sunday. We talked about the Holy Spirit, and this year was special because it was the first hybrid one. We had about 30 people in the room and another 10 on Zoom, and what a time it was. Just wonderful encouragement for people. And I just want you to know, God is doing great things in the various ministries of our church. And people are seeking. We have young people. We have people who haven't been to church in years that are coming and learning about how to live the Christian life. And I'm just thrilled to be able to be part of it. So that's just one great thing, just a great praise report for our church. A couple other things coming up. We're going to have a baptism this summer. And Keith is doing a baptism class for the youth and the younger kids on June 6th and 13th. I'm also getting some folks ready, hopefully from Basic Beliefs, to get baptized. So we're going to really have a celebration at the end of June, and we're going to do it at some in the church and some out at the water. So get ready. Refresh Project over in the other building is going fantastic. We've raised $155,000 of the $180,000, and if you haven't had a chance to go over there and look, the new carpet's in. Just a few weeks' time, we'll be putting our blended service on again in there, and we're really excited to have that be done. We're also going to be doing some work on the bathrooms and the kitchen. So it's been a long time that things haven't been upgraded in that building, and we're really glad we can do that right now. And then finally, as a report, last week, we talked about our missions committee giving a significant gift, actually $2,000 we gave to relief efforts in India and Nepal. And this is through two of our mission agencies that we have missionaries working with, One Challenge and SIM. They have a very specific relief fund. They're working with Christian hospitals and people on the field. And so as that happened, we asked the elders if we could set up a new fund from our church for folks here, for you here online or are watching, to give to. If you're reading the news, you're concerned about other parts of the world that are suffering, this is an opportunity to do that, and it will go to very good agencies who are, through Christian efforts, sharing the gospel as well as very, very needed help. So thank you if you want to do that. You can do that online. We have a new opportunity on the giving section, as well as you can just write a check and write India Nepal Relief on it.
Our Bible verse today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he's given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers.
So we've been talking about asking Jesus to be the leader of our life, that salvation event that happens in a whole variety of ways, but there is that moment where I believe we cross the line. The Holy Spirit, who has been outside witnessing to us, now indwells us. That's how we know spiritually that we're Christian. We're sealed, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. And now we're a part of the process of sanctification. And yes, some days sanctification is three steps forward and two steps back. We make great progress at times, and at other times we're just slowly putting one foot in front of the other. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you to join the chat right now if you're with us on live stream. Just go to your computer, log in, and be a part of that chat. We have the opportunity to make progress in sanctification, and we've been talking about leaning into that process. How do you encourage that process? How do you cooperate with that process? And because the Holy Spirit is in us, He changes us, transforms us from the inside out. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit as we look at who we are on the inside, our inner character. Today, the character quality we want to look at is, well, what happens when we have unresolved conflict? Anybody here have any unresolved conflicts that they brought in today? Boy, we're like a country of unresolved conflicts right now. Unresolved conflicts. They have an impact on how fast we move forward, how well we move forward in our desire to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, someone whom is cooperating with the Holy Spirit's transformation process on the inside. It's interesting that it's a gut check. Have you noticed that when you get in a conflict or an argument with other people, it kind of makes you a little like sick to your stomach? Yeah, it does. And so today on our interior journey, we're going to look at your gut health. How is your gut doing relationally? Here's what the Bible says. Here's our passage, 1 John 4:20-21. If someone says, I love God, and they hate a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Now, they may be telling the truth, but the fact is that they're in inner conflict over that. And you ought to be in inner conflict when you're having some unresolved conflict with another person. So we're living a little bit of a lie, is really what Jesus is saying. For if we don't love people who we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And again, another great point. In fact, it is way easier to love a God in one way that you can't see. It's loving those people you do see right around you, right? Yes. It's a challenge for us to love those around us, but if we can't love them, then what does that say about our love for God? Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. All right, that's a challenge, isn't it? Taking from last week's message, Luke 10:37, remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? What does Jesus say at the end? Go and do likewise. When it comes to loving others, especially others in the faith, we're to go and do likewise. How do we go and do likewise? Let's look at Matthew 5:9. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Oh, peace. We're supposed to be peacemakers. Oh. Peacemaking sometimes is very hard, isn't it? Sometimes we find ourselves, and we have in this last year, with some very strong feelings that fall on one side or the other, and there's conflict because of that. And of course, part of what needs to take place is some dialogue, some real listening, as well as some speaking. But Jesus is right. The bottom line is, do you want to be a peacemaker or just a conflict maker? I think we all want to be peacemakers. I want to be a peacemaker because when I'm in conflict with other people, it upsets my stomach. It may upset my life, but it definitely upsets my stomach. Peacemaking is not about just letting everything go by. Some people wrongly think that, well, if I'm a peacemaker, then I can't stand up to anything or anyone, and that's just not true. It's not ignoring what's going on, and it's not appeasing everything that we do know. It's learning to be in dialogue, and I'll get to this at the very end. At times, realize you have to just agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. So why should we be concerned about unresolved conflict with other people? Well, number one, I think unresolved conflict with other people impacts your relationship with God. It does. It has an impact in our relationship with God. Now, listen to what John says. John says, and he gives us this really good suggestion. Right? This really good idea to employ when everything's going well and the person that you're talking with is so easy to talk with. They think the same way I do. It's easy. But see, it's not just an inference. It's not just a suggestion. In fact, it's more than just an instruction. It is a command. His command is that we love one another. And if we can't love one another, then how can we say that we love God? Matthew 5. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifices to God. Ooh, our faith is more than money. In fact, because of the two great commandments, we know that the basis of our faith is really relationship, isn't it? Relationship with God and relationship with one another. And so if we are in conflict that's not resolved with someone else, then we need to do our very best to reconcile, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, with that other person. And God says, look, it's my commandment, and don't follow this one, but don't follow that one. I think this relational command is so important, right? Second commandment. It's so important. God says, don't give me your money till you go and try to do something about that relationship that you're in conflict with. That other person. And once you strive to have reconciliation with that other person, then come and give me your offerings, because now you will be worshiping to me without anything in between your heart and soul and God's heart and soul. And we all know that when we're having conflict with someone else, especially somebody around us, yeah, it does get in the way. There is this call for us to deal with that as we come into the presence of God. Number two, it has a bad impact on our relationships with other people. The Lord's servants must not, now that's an instruction, must not quarrel, but must be kind to one another. So I think the greatest kindness that we can do for other people that we find ourselves in unresolved conflict with is to deal with that. To deal with that. And again, we'll get to how we do that. But it's true, it's hard to be even in a prayer group with someone that you really don't like, that you're kind of in a verbal argument with, right? You grab hands and you say under your breath, they're a Democrat. Oh, they're a Republican. Both of them say, they're a Libertarian. They didn't vote. Isn't that the way we are? It's all too human for us to be that way. Yet it interrupts the way that we are able to relate to one another in an honest and authentic way, as Rick prayed. We finally need to deal with that unresolved conflict because it not only impacts our upward relationship with God, it impacts our horizontal relationship with one another. And that's not good for you, and that's not good for them. And here's the thing, that's not good for us. That's not good for us as a body of Christ. Finally, I think it impacts our own happiness. You are only hurting yourself with your anger. Okay, when we get upset, we are hurting ourselves many times. You know, it's anger is an honest, right emotion. It's not a sin to be angry, but we often sin when we are angry. It's what we do with it. It's what we do with it. And some of us were brought up in environments where nobody ever got upset with anyone. No, I can't tell them no. And some of us grew up in homes where, it's like World War whatever is going on, and people are their voices are loud and their body position changes. Even the old man gets out of his favorite chair. Oftentimes in those kinds of situations, it's over, and then everybody's sitting back down at the table or watching whatever they were watching. Yeah, anger impacts our own happiness. I have to say, I am not happy when I'm in unresolved conflict with other people. Those are not my easy days. Those are not my best days. But I've learned to not let that conversation go by. Not to let that conversation go by. So you want to be happy? Get along with one another. Right? You want to have friends and you want to enjoy the potluck that you're having with your small group? Then you got to get over it. You got to deal with it. And man, if you don't, when you go to pray, God's going to just remind you about that. Right? The big picture of that person is going to come into your mind every time you try to get a hold of the majesty of God. God's going to say, yes, I have great majesty, but you got a problem with this person. You need to deal with that. Go deal with them and then come back and tell me how majestic I am. That'll be awesome. So how do we do that? How do we work towards resolving conflict with another person? This is an illustration I often use with the staff. You want to make a harmony hamburger. A harmony hamburger. Right? You got three elements in a hamburger. You got a top bun. Notice the top bun's the big part of the hamburger. Then you got the meat. Then you got a thinner bottom bun. I'll teach you right now how to make a harmony hamburger. All right, number one, top bun, you got to stop ignoring it, and you need to set a time and a place that you can talk to this person. Always try to pick a good time and a good place. You don't want to be in a hurry. And when I go out to lunch with people, there are certain restaurants I like to go to because we can actually talk while we're eating. and not listen to the conversation next to us or have our conversation overheard. So it needs to be a good place where you can talk, and it needs to be a good time so it's unhurried. That you have a good amount of time to spend focused on each other. Go and be reconciled. Go and be reconciled. You got to go. You can't stay. You got to go. You got to make the call. You got to make the appointment. You got to sit down. A good place, a good time. And as you sit down at this good time in this good place, then what you do is you invite the other person to share their perspective and their feelings. Paul's remark in Philippians, none of you should think only of your own affairs, but consider other people's interests also. Now, that's another way of saying, you know what you feel, and you know why you feel it. And I might say, you might feel very strongly about that. Crucial conversations, critical conversations that Rick has taught us. The key thing is to identify how that other person is feeling. And what we want to do is we want to tell them how we're feeling. And instead of us starting with that, we start with the other person. What are you feeling and what is your perspective? And we all know this from psychology. What you're perceiving, how you're perceiving something often determines the feelings or the emotions that you have related to that. Once I've heard your perspective and your feelings on the matter, most of us are going to say, now that's the time for us to move in and tell them, yeah, you're dumb for feeling that way or looking at it that way. Can you stop being dumb? That'll solve it. Just stop being dumb. No. What we do is go a little deeper than that, and we ask that person to be honest with us. How do you honestly see things? Honestly hearing how maybe in the end that we hurt them. Now, sometimes we hurt people on purpose, and other times we hurt people when we don't mean it. My illustration is think of the fact that there are some ladders up here on the platform. When you're mad on purpose, you go over, find that person's ladder, and you shove it over. Hope they're at the top. Right? Yeah. Sometimes we're looking over there, and we bump into somebody's ladder. And it starts to fall over. And you know what the difference is? Is if they're on it, we're trying to catch them before they hit the ground. Sometimes we inadvertently hurt people. But sometimes we pick a person out and we're going to get even with that person. And so for them to be honest and open with you, now you're really going to... If you listen to that, you will understand that person far better than you did before the conversation started. And now that you know them, it's a lot harder to hate them. Why? You're going to see yourself in them. You're going to understand. Oh, that's new information. Remember what I said last week? What you want to do as you deal with someone that's a peculiar treasure is know their history, their background, and know what they're dealing with right now. And those two things become a great help here when we're asking someone to be honest with us. That often moves us ahead to getting to the meat of the hamburger. The meat of the hamburger is to start looking at the key issues. What are the key issues that we're upset about? What did you hear me say? How did you perceive what I did? And vice versa. As we do that, here's a big key. Attack the problem, not the person. This is the issue. Don't attack the person. Attack the problem. Do not use any harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed. Now, again, you might be a little bit like me. One of the things I have to do is, I'm in conflict with you, and now I got to talk to you about it. Wait, the first thing I need to do is I need to spit out those bad words. You know which ones I'm talking about. Because if I don't spit them out, what's going to happen? Oh, that's what I'm going to say. Right? Once I've spit out the bad words, now I'm ready to eat some good words. And remember this, you should always taste your words to make sure they're sweet so that when you have to eat them later, it's a little more pleasurable. So as we talk about the problem or the issue, let's not beat up on that person as we do that. Why? We want to use these helpful words. We want to put away the harmful words. And we want to build up that other person in a way that they need to be built up. And to do that, really to get to the meat of a conflict with another person, it's really about two things. Number one, are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to extend forgiveness to another person? And are you willing to ask for forgiveness from that other person? And there may be a case, I just never seen it in my 41 years of being a pastor, where someone was all right, 100% right, perfect. Most of the time, we can hear that we've taken a difficult road in a conversation with a person, a road that they're sensitive about, that they have a history on. And so we're thinking, we're just making our way, and then we're kind of poking at the injury. And we're able to say, what? I'm sorry, I never knew that. And now we can acknowledge that, we can ask for forgiveness, right? The other thing we need to do is we need to embrace change. Change is making good on our words of forgiveness. If we offer forgiveness to another person, then we're expecting that they're going to work on what they've confessed to us and vice versa. You know, I'm really sorry that I said that, and I will try to not say that ever again. Now, will you never, ever, ever say that again? Well, you might say it again, but you definitely won't say it as often as you have a tendency to. Why? Because you understand that at least inadvertently knocked over the ladder of someone else. And because we love our Christian brothers and sisters, and because God commands it, then we're gonna strive to do a better job of that. Those of you, you don't have to, please don't raise your hand here. Those of you that are a bull in a china shop, yeah, you got to keep working. Why? Because you're knocking over stuff that is inadvertent, and when you get your cackles up, I'm not sure what those are, but when you do, you have to be careful because you'll go after a person who's said the wrong thing or treated you the wrong way. Instead of being assertive, you'll be aggressive towards that other person. Yeah. So we have to be willing to extend forgiveness And we have to be willing to embrace change, and that makes a big difference. Do everything that is possible on your part to live at peace with everyone. There you go. There's an opportunity for your entire life. I've been working on this my entire life. Why? I'm around a lot of people. Last week was a little bit about how do we live at peace with everyone. And notice this goes beyond the idea of a brother or a sister. We're to live at peace with everyone. Everyone. Now again, that doesn't mean we're ignoring things or appeasing things. No. But when we do get in conflict with others or conversations that look like they're headed to a conflict, then we know we're going to try to make this work. We're going to try to speak in words that are useful, building a person up. Not harmful words, but sweet words. Bottom bun, let's get to it. I got 1 minute. The bottom bun is thin, but it needs to be a very hopeful bun because it's a thin bun. And you want to leave the conflict and the conversation from the standpoint that, hey, I'm hopeful that we can get on the other side of this. I'm hopeful that we can what? Finally, at least agree to disagree. I understand you better because I've listened to your point. Hopefully you've listened to me and you understand my point. Yeah, on this one, we have to agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. You're on to agreeing to disagree if you focus on reconciliation and not resolution. Resolution is I get you to think the way I think. And a win is only if I get you to think the way that I think. Resolution is, okay, you heard me, I heard you. If I hurt you, I apologize and I will work on that. They say the same thing. You still disagree on the subject matter. You still are not on the same page on where you're putting that TV in your rec room. Right? We don't always get along, but we're to have the ministry of reconciliation. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice it doesn't say have the ministry of resolution. Go make everybody see it just like the Bible. You ever going to do that? Everybody? No. No. See, we show charity to everyone. Liberty in the things that are non-essential, and we do have a core belief that we strive to have unity on. Why? Because that's a great way to live. That's a great way to be a church. Unresolved conflict. Yeah. As we lean into the process of sanctification, that is one of the things that we need to address and get better at, because those two things, the unresolved conflict, will definitely weigh us down and slow us down in becoming the men and women of God that he's called us to be. Let us pray. Lord God, we're thankful that you love us, that you've dealt with the conflict that exists between us and you, our sinning. Lord, you understand us because you've fashioned us, and you understand that as relational human beings, fallen relational human beings, that we're not always good at resolving conflict. In the end, Lord, We do love you, and we step up to your command that if we love you, we really do need to love those around us. And it doesn't mean not having boundaries. It doesn't mean ignoring reality. It isn't appeasement that you're after, but the opportunity for conversation, healthy conversation, that can point us towards a reconciled relationship with someone else. Lord, we're going to need your Holy Spirit to do that, especially with those other people. So give to us richly your Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. It takes divine power sometimes to reconcile with someone else you're in conflict with. That's why it says, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And as you have that, then you bring that to the table, the conversation, where your attitude, your perspective, what you're aiming for is to love that other person the way that you want to be loved. God bless you.